The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Right now, I am joined on the show by the Fianna Fáil TD and the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien. Minister, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. Before we talk about your bailiwick housing, have Fianna Fáil a Sinn Féin dossier?
No. What Fianna Fáil are interested in is the real issues out there, Kieran, and how we can bring forward solutions to rectify them. We're very much focused on implementing our programme for government and doing our best to make our citizens' lives better. I think that's separate then to, from time to time, actually calling out, when there's blatant hypocrisy, that does need to be called out. That's important too. But I think, to be fair, what the general public want is to see their politicians debating the issues and bringing forward real solutions. And that's really the area that Fianna Fáil and that I'm interested in, which is implementing our policies, our programmes on housing, on health, on education, and actually making a real positive difference for the lives of people in our country. And I really think that's where the people want us to be.
But if your answer to the question is we don't because we're interested in improving the lives of people, I take it then that means that Fine Gael are not interested in improving the lives of voters
and
constituents? Well,
I think Fine Gael will answer for themselves. And to be fair to the Taoiseach, I think he responded to what I do think were some pretty personal remarks that were made. That's on the Dáil record there. My point is, though, is that Dáil time should really be used with regards to policy and legislation and solutions. So any party, if they want to, put forward dossiers or rebuttals and arguments or that is absolutely fine. That's a matter for them. I engage in political debate in the Dáil every day that the Dáil is sitting. But what I try to focus on, and the Taoiseach and others and my own party colleagues, is actually saying what we're doing in taking valid criticism on policy. That's fine. That's all about political discourse. But I think when we get into personal matters, it doesn't really serve the body politic well. And that's all I would say on that matter.
Well, then let's talk about policy and your own particular policy and criticism of that policy from the President. Michael D. Higgins, was he right to say what he did? Housing is a disaster?
Well, firstly, if I could say, look, I know our president very well for a long number of years. He's a person that I respect, that I regard, that I voted for in the last two presidential elections. And I won't get into a position where I would be criticising or debating with the president, because he is obviously above politics, and rightly so, and I think he does a very good job. That said, I do want to be very clear that certainly our Housing for All plan, which is only 9 months old and which is taking effect right now, is certainly not a disaster or anything like it. It's the most comprehensive housing plan that any government has actually brought forward. And I was looking back, we're investing €4 billion a year now in social and affordable housing. And when you look back over time, if you go back to 2015, that was €400 million. So that's a tenfold increase. And we are seeing this year, and I agree with the President on this, he wants the state to be involved in a major way in delivering social housing. This year, we intend to build more new social homes in 2022 than has been done in any other year in the history of the state. So the state is the main player on the pitch with regard to housing in this state, and that is just very clear. And like the centre that the President opened in Tig Lynn, which is a fine centre for young men there who have had their difficulties, we actually funded that centre, €2.3 million, on behalf of the Exchequer to provide facilities like that. So, the President has, to be fair to him, has a long-standing interest in social justice, as I do, in housing, as I certainly do. But I am more positive about the policies that we're pursuing because they're taking root. It's happening. I've spent, many, many days each week in talking to citizens all over the country, in visiting new developments that are happening, meeting people who are getting their new homes. Do we have very serious challenges in housing? Absolutely we do. And I've never sugarcoated that.
But not a disaster.
No, it is not. But it's very difficult for people. And it is very difficult for people who, we're in a situation, I'm acutely aware of the 10,000 people who are homeless in this country who need a safe and secure home. the thousands of people who are waiting for social homes. And indeed, that whole cohort of people that I've discussed with you who are looking for affordable housing. And the good news is on that is that we're delivering more social homes this year than ever. We have the money and the resources to do it, and we're building the capacity to do it. We're going to deliver affordable homes for working people at scale this year and right into next year. But like a housing plan, you know, that is 9 months old isn't going to deal with 10 years plus of undersupply in this area. And thankfully, when we look at, it's not just me saying it, when we look at the statistics from the sector, we're looking at nearly 23,000 homes completed up to April 2022 in the 12 months till then. That's the highest in over 10 years. The number of commencements.
It's still too low, though, isn't it? Like, I'm not disputing that figure, but 23,000 is still too low over a 12-month period.
We need a lot more than that, I think. And there is no question, my plan and the government's plan is to get up to an average of 33,000. Just to put it in context what this means, last year was just over 20,000 completions. We had COVID in 21 and in 2020, and I think most reasonable people will understand why that affected delivery in those periods of time with lockdown. We're going to deliver close to 25,000 new homes. That's 5,000 more on last year. And we're going to build on that again into next year. Does it take time for people to see that change? Yes, it does. But the good thing is, when I travel around the Republic meeting people as well, I'm seeing in every single county in this country really good quality social homes for people that will be their life home, their home for life, and good affordable homes now coming on stream. And it takes hard work to do that. Like, we had to bring in the Affordable Housing Act. I had to negotiate with government colleagues to get €4 billion a year to invest in housing, 10 times more than 2015. Yeah. So I think it's a, look, I'm always open to constructive comment and indeed to constructive criticism. It's very important, though, too, that is based in, you know, the reality of where we've come from and the reality of where we are now, because things are, thankfully, slowly improving. And that's not just on a month-by-month basis. We're seeing that take hold as we're dealing with other challenges, such as the war in Ukraine and making sure we're looking after our friends from Ukraine who come here, and also the inflationary cycle that we have. So no one's saying it's an easy job.
No.
It's not, but we are getting there.
But the 33,000 figure as well, at what point, there'll be a certain point you'd have to go above that, won't there? And then come back down to 33, because there's a backlog. I mean, if there's 33,000 people who would normally, in any normal year, be buying a home or acquiring a new home this year, and only 23,000 or 22,000, so there's an already 11,000 backlog.
Exactly.
If you hit the 25,000, then you're another 7, you have 18. You already have a backlog of 18,000 in just this year and last year alone, which doesn't account for the backlog in the years ahead and all the years behind.
There's no question. And
So how high above 33 will you go, and when will you hit that?
It's actually detailed within Housing for All. We will be looking at the average over the period of time between now and the end of the decade, 2030, would be to get to a sustainable average of 33,000. Should all things being equal and subject to no, you know, further pandemics or economic shocks, we're projecting next year that we'll be very close to 30,000 to build the capacity up above that. And indeed, it is our plan to go above the 33,000. What we also need to do...
By when and how far above it?
What we're looking at, Kieran, next year is 2023. We'll be looking at hitting there or thereabouts 30,000 next year.
Yeah.
With the state providing, you know, through affordable and social housing, nearly half of that. And then we would exceed that the following year. Now, what I'm saying to you is this, it's a realistic and honest plan, because there are some who will be on your show and in political discourse will say, we should build 40,000 houses this year.
Yeah.
If I had the resources to do that, which we could get.
I'm trying to work out when you hit that figure, because already, well, if you get to 30,000 next year, now you have a backlog of 20,000, and that doesn't account for the backlog that existed before Housing for All kicked in.
Okay.
So at what point do you hit 53,000 a year to clear that backlog and then come back down to 33?
Well, we need to deliver the plan. You need people to build the homes, okay? Housing for All will create about 30,000 new jobs. And what the point I was going to make before you came in with the other question was that to do that, you need the physical human resources to be able to build it. And we've, thankfully now, we're actually above the capacity in the construction sector that we were before the pandemic. So we need more people. So the people who would be onto your show saying we need 40,000 houses next year, absolutely. If you could actually have, if you could get the people to do it. But you need to be able to get more apprentices into the system. You need to be able to get more people back from abroad and indeed new workers to come in to deliver it. And we're doing that in a very sustainable way. Because what I am trying to do and endeavouring to do, and this government is to build a sustainable and stable housing system into the future. And yes, it does mean, by the way, that we're going to have to catch up on lost years, on 10 or 12 lost years of very significant underinvestment in housing under the last few governments since about 2011, 2012. And that is just a fact. The capital was cut out of housing drastically. As I said, the last time, if you take 2014, 2015, €400 million a year was all that was being put in to housing at that time. It is now 10 times that. So we will catch up, but we'll catch up in a sustainable way. Okay. That means that we're not going to deal with these peaks and troughs in housing into the future. And to give people a real chance to be able to own their home at an affordable price or rent their home on a secure basis through social housing and cost rental at an affordable rate. And we're really determined to do it. And thankfully, the signs initially are showing that even with all the challenges we have, both from abroad and at home, that is taking root now. We're seeing, you know, so we've just got to stay focused. Yeah. We've got to see the
path. Can I ask, and maybe this is slightly difficult because there's a bit of crystal ball gazing goes into it, but how worried are you about some of those targets being undermined by inflation in the building sector? You know, we had a story yesterday about, you know, the National Children's Hospital and several million euro. And even anecdotally, you talk to builders and, you know, they talk about kind of work, the signs being there that work is slightly slowing down just because people can't kind of nail down contracts, such as the level of inflation at the moment.
Yeah, look, we've got to watch inflation. And to be fair, Michael McGrath, my colleague, has done a really good piece of work just a couple of weeks ago to bring in a new inflation framework, particularly on public sector contracts, which is our social homes, our direct build affordable homes, and indeed other state contracts where there'll be a burden sharing by the state and a 70% by the state, 30% a contractor, to actually be able to smooth out the effect of inflation, because we don't want sites stopping. We don't want, you know, buildings of new schools, hospitals, other state infrastructure stopping. To be fair to the construction sector, they've responded very well to that. Times are uncertain, and we have to watch this as we move through. As you rightly say, no one has a crystal ball on this as to what will happen into the future. We're going to see two increases that we know of in interest rates as well that could have an effect as well. We've seen it month on month of there being a slowdown, thankfully, in the increase in the rate of new homes being sold, or indeed second-hand homes being sold. So, you know, the real focus is actually keeping people on site, keeping the delivery going. We've, for this year, targeted under Housing for All 24,600 homes. We are projecting to achieve and maybe slightly exceed that target. It's not easy, because there are challenges, certainly with supply chain, and there was in the last few months. That, thankfully, has gone slightly better. The supply chain has improved in so far as the robustness and solidity of the supply chain. We're seeing reductions in some materials, in steel, in timber as well, just month on month, too much to show a trend in that. But it's something that I'm acutely aware of, and government is also. Obviously, our targets are clear, they're set out, they're challenging, but they're attainable.
And let me then ask you about the kind of wider issue of inflationary pressure, and all the tea leaves seem to be suggesting now there will be some level of government intervention into people's pockets before budget day. What can you tell us?
Well, firstly, as your listeners will know, that we've already made about €2 billion in interventions to try to soften the blow of inflation, particularly on cost of living for our people out there. And they've been significant in many areas around medical care, around public transport, around fuel supply and that. We're come through the summer months now where, particularly in relation to home heating and that, in most areas we'll see a reduction in usage. The Taoiseach, I think, has been very clear on this, and this is where I would agree with him. You can't chase inflation. I think, you know, parties coming in looking to bring in different measures, different weeks, actually in themselves, those measures could very well fuel inflation. So what we need is a very strategic approach to this. The best time to do that, in my view, is at budget time, that we have a full package of measures across sectors that can, as best as possible, alleviate the pressures that are there. Not totally alleviate them, but certainly soften the blow.
So nothing before the budget?
Well, no, I'm not saying that will be a government decision. I'm saying if the plan is for a comprehensive suite of measures, further comprehensive suite of measures, because already we made a very significant intervention there to the tune of over €2 billion of exchequer funding, of taxpayers' money, to focus it at those who need it most. And that is our plan, is to work towards that. Work is already ongoing, in relation to a further series of measures that will help that further. So, we've also got to make sure that we remain competitive. And whilst all this is happening, we are in an economy now that has added more jobs last year than ever before. We're the biggest year in foreign direct investment. We've over 2.5 million people working. And that was the economic recovery plan that this government brought forward. That we bounced back, you know, even in comparison to any other EU country, significantly in post-COVID. And the economy is robust. So there are, you know, those things are positive. Again, those things just don't happen. Yeah. That's about bringing forward well-thought-out strategic policy that works. And the same needs to be done with regard to inflation, not just coming into the Dáil every week and calling for something else to be done one week and another thing to be done the following week.
So the preference
itself will have an inflationary effect.
The preference absolutely do this with the budget, but possibly some tweaks before then?
Well, that would be a matter for government to discuss.
But you're a member of government.
Yes, I know that, but it would be a decision that we would make as a collective at a government meeting should proposals be brought forward. To give you one example of a measure that has been brought forward already just in the last few weeks, I mentioned Michael McGrath's work that he's done on the inflation framework to ensure that we're controlling costs within the sector, and that feeds into people's new homes, both social and affordable and private. So they're very targeted measures that have been welcomed, working in collaboration with the sector. Do I see further measures coming forward? Yes, I do. But I really think, Kieran, to be honest with you, that the full comprehensive suite of packages, because if there are tax measures that are required there as well, that the budget is the time to do that. And those who each week will come in and call for something different and then change tact and come back and reverse, that does no one any good. We need certainty in this space. And we are acutely aware in government of the pressures that people are on. And we've already taken, and we've already taken measures to be able to try to soften that blow.
Minister Dara O'Brien. Minister, thanks a million for joining us.
You're very welcome, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.